Taken from St. Matthew's Gospel account, the second chapter. Beloved in the Lord, this morning our infant Savior embarks upon another journey. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head for very long. Their stay in Bethlehem is a short one. Persian treasures have been laid at his feet. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, sacred gifts for the Holy Child, ornament the place where he lay. The magicians from the east have begun their return home, and Herod's henchmen ready their steeds, sharpen their swords, and await only the word. The child's advent inaugurates the downfall of many in Israel. His tiny hands are curled around the scepter of righteousness. His teeny feet are shod with the gospel of peace. His infant tongue, sharper than any two-edged sword. The stars in the sky pay homage to their infant creator. Everything about this child signals the downfall of kingdoms and empires, of religions and cults, the rich and the full, the proud and the arrogant. The birth of the Christ child, the mighty are about to be brought low, even as the humble are lifted up. But their stay in Bethlehem is short-lived. Flee to Egypt, says the angel to Joseph in a dream, and stay there until I bring you a word. The ears of both Jew and Gentile might wonder at this escape route. Why go down to Egypt? Why journey to the land of Pharaoh and his idols, the land of their forefathers' bondage? Does the land of Ra serve as an asylum for the son of the God of Israel, while the Holy Land of Israel possesses no cities of sanctuary? Matthew tells us that this has happened to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." This journey has been prophesied. This Egyptian stay is God's will. It's part of God's plan. For his son is the fulfillment of his heart's desire. His son is the fulfillment of Holy Scripture, blessed prophecy, eternal salvation. For even as the patriarch Jacob made his way to Goshen, so now Jacob's greater son retraces those footsteps that he too may be called out of Egypt, called as Holy Israel in the person of Christ, called out into the wilderness to worship, back to the promised land to be Israel's Savior, even the Savior of the whole world. But the angel's words quickly steal away all the warm, fuzzy feelings we normally associate with our Lord's nativity. And all humanity is brutally reminded that the world we live in, the world this Christ child has entered, is full of hatred. Hatred not just of their fellow man, not just of children or infants, but also of God. This child must flee to Egypt because Herod, though knowing the prophecies, refuses to worship him. Jesus is a threat. The child is a threat. The kingdom's at stake, so he must die. The prophecy must be silenced forever. So it is, beloved, in our world today. Jesus remains a threat. And as much joy and happiness as they bring, children too are a threat. Anyone that compels us to love outside of ourselves is a threat, be it God or neighbor. And who more than children embody this absolute need to be loved? Who's more dependent than a baby? Who has more need of care, compassion, nurturing, feeding, clothing, shelter, protection, more than an infant child? Who is more frail? Who is more helpless? Who is more innocent? A society that cannot love its children cannot love its adults. A society that cannot protect its children cannot protect its adults. And so the very thing we long to love and protect more than anything else in the world, ourselves, is actually put in jeopardy because we cannot love and protect our children, how then can we love and protect the homeless, the hungry, the poor? And if we fail as a society, how then can we hope to ever succeed as individuals? How then can humanity rise out of its slummy lifestyles, inhumane politics, dysfunctional family dynamics, cultic recreational habits, and fulfill our Creator's intention for us to bear His image in our human nature? In other words, beloved, how can we be truly and fully human? We cannot love one another. We cannot love our babies. But instead of loving the tiniest among us, too many view them as a threat. There is a little bit of Herod in each and every one of us. We see children as a threat to our income, our status in society, our ambitions, our careers, our education, our ability to seize the day for ourselves and to establish our own little kingdom right here on earth. Children are a threat to all of that. And thank God they are. Or else we poor adults would never grow up and never learn to live for, to love, to protect, and to thank God for these weak creatures who bear our image as well as our resemblance. We would never begin to imagine the fullness of the words of the prophet when he said, "Unto you is a child is born, unto you a son is given." Everything Jesus does, beloved, everywhere Jesus goes, he is fulfilling the words of the prophets. He's fulfilling the Father's heart and drawing you all away from yourself, away from your false idols, your possessions, your earthly ambitions, away from all of your tiny little kingdoms right here on earth. And where does he lead us? Well, this morning it's Egypt, outside the promised land. And wherever Jesus goes, prophet's words, once filled with expectation, are gifted with the fullness of reality, the fullness of the day, the fullness of humanity. In Egypt, I must confess my slavery to self and allow this child to topple my sins. My heart must be turned toward him with faith as I behold him as my Savior. For he traverses the known world for all the world. He leaves Israel to redeem Israel. And he does it in the flesh so that he may do it for me and for you and for all people. So out of Egypt the Father calls his Son. And with his Son my humanity enters again the promised land. He is baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. He heals lepers to restore humanity's health. He gives bread to nourish the nations. Throughout all the land of Canaan, the Son of Mary fulfills our destiny as he loves sinners like us, lifts up the weak-hearted, has compassion on the less fortunate, takes little children into his lap, even infants, calls daughters from the grave and sons out of their caskets. He rebukes devils, setting the captives free. He is perfect humanity, perfectly loving, perfectly righteous, and his love moved him to even go so far as to protect us from death. Out of Egypt I have called my son, says the prophet. Yes, out of Egypt we go. To Calvary we come. There on the cross our God manifests his love for us. All that is wicked and inhumane is destroyed. All sin, all death, all hatred, all selfishness. Our tiny little kingdom here on earth is crucified. And thank God, else we would never be raised up out of death. As Jesus strides forth on their third day, swaddling cloths folded neatly at the head of the sepulcher, Israel's glory is risen from the dead. The nation's light shines brightly, and my human nature is restored to the image of its Creator. With Christ Jesus, all humanity is raised unto newness of life towards God and neighbor. And the baptized receive this resurrection, this image, this life. For as Scripture says, do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we then should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, we shall certainly also be united in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ's fulfillment of the prophets is the fulfillment of my salvation. Mm-hmm. Your salvation. Being raised with Christ, I am a new creation. You are a new creation. In newness, then, you are enabled to love as he loved. No longer are you bound to your sin, you are forgiven. No longer must your heart look out for its own good, but now, free from the shackles of self-worship, you may enter again the workaday world and bring comfort, love, protection, and mercy to those weeping with Rachel. For her children are no more, and she refuses to be comforted. But Christ's gospel is for her as well. Baptized into Christ, you have been christened. You now enflesh the image of the true God. Your humanity has been raised out of its slummy lifestyles, inhumane politics, dysfunctional family dynamics, cultic recreational habits, and you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill your Creator's intention to bear his image in your human nature. Amen. United to Christ Jesus, you are fully and truly human. True humanity fulfills the word of the Lord for you. True humanity loves and protects the tiniest among us. From the one-celled baby in the womb to the oldest and the most frail, with every man, woman, and child in between. Your heart has been set free to love outside of yourself, to see in your fellow man one for whom Christ Jesus died and rose from the dead. Beloved in the Lord, therefore look to your neighbors, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. Look to the person across the street or in the house next door, the clerk at the mall, the man willing to work for food. Look to the sick and the dying and show them compassion. Look to the poor, stretch out a generous hand. Look to the shivering and clothe them. Look to the hungry and feed them. Look to the homeless and shelter them. Look around you, beloved. God has given you a bounty of opportunities to love your neighbor as yourself. But you must first start not with yourself, as the world would pervert it, but with this child.
Amen.
Love the Christ child. Love Jesus, perfect humanity, God in the flesh, for behold his deeds for you. He is the fulfillment of the prophet's words for Israel's glory, the nation's dreams, humanity's hope. He is the fulfillment of the Father's heart for you and for all people. Amen. Peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We stand to confess together the words of the 19th.